Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you might recognize him, Attorney Ken Appianco, on the show. Thanks so much for being on the show, Ken. We appreciate it. Love having you on here. And Ken, your website, the people can get a hold of you at, what website can they reach you at?
My website is FOPlawyer.com.
I love it. I love it. Well, thanks for being on the show. Also, a shout out to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Also, ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream. SafeguardRecruiting.com. And we've also got the TwoBells.com, FishOrlandoBass.com. And hey, and I don't know if you've heard this one yet, FishOrlandoBass.com. If you're going to Disney, you can drop the wife and the kids off or the grandkids and go to FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a fishing charter there. You can do bass fishing, or if you're really feeling adventurous, Ken, you can do alligator hunting. And you don't kill the alligator, you catch and release, but it's a lot of fun. And Zach is going to be your guide. So it's a great opportunity. And then when you're done, you go back and pick up the wife and kids at Disney. It's just, you can't lose. It's a great opportunity. So how's that sound?
It sounds good to me.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? All right, guys, hold on to your hats. We've got three main stories back to back. Court overturns a ruling in Florida murder case, reinstates a suspect statements. We're going to be talking about that. Ken's going to make sure that we understand what the law says about Miranda. Also, Donald Trump to sign executive order ending obvious threat to public safety nationwide. And we are talking about cashless bail. And then if that's not enough, we've got a third main topic. We have over over 2.6 million people demanding leniency for the illegal immigrant trucker who killed three people in Florida. And we're going to be talking about that. So stay tuned. Also, we've got another story. Two men claiming to be police are shot and killed by homeowners, authorities say. And I have some speculation on that that we'll be getting into. And we have another one. We got a couple stories of video components. Our bad guys fatally shot by Antioch police officers when he charges at them with a knife. So that's going to be the first one. And then, of course, the next one is going to be Orange County deputies fatally shoot a guy that's also armed with a knife. We got an NYPD detective wounded by friendly fire when they're trying to apprehend a suspect. Wait till you hear how that went down. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what happened in a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And then we got a cop and the conspirators. Well, we just got a bunch of stuff going on, assuming that we have time to get to it. So I'll leave off there so that we can kind of jump into the main story. So back to back, three main stories. The first one, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Court overturns a ruling in Florida murder case, reinstates a suspect statement. So here we go. A Florida appellate court reversed a trial court's decision to suppress key statements that were made by a Brevard County guy accused of first-degree murder, concluding that the suspect did not clearly and without a doubt request an attorney. Now, the ruling means that his statements to police in which he claimed self-defense, that they can now be used as evidence in trial. Before this appellate hearing, they could not. So in a decision released on Thursday, the Fifth District Court of Appeal sided with the state of Florida in the case of Thomas Michael Pastor Jr. He's charged for a premeditated murder of Michael Aukerberg. And the case centers on a 45-minute interrogation in which Pastor, our bad guy, a 24-year-old with a bachelor's degree, he was read his Miranda rights. And they throw the bachelor's degree in there so that there's no doubt the guy's going to understand what his rights are. But the appellate court's opinion highlights a five-minute exchange between our bad guy Pastor and the two detectives. After acknowledging that he understood his rights and initially agreeing to speak, Pastor's statements became a mix of wanting an attorney and also wanting to talk to the police. And the court cited his initial response as a prime example. And here's a quote. This is what he said, quote, "I do want a lawyer. I will answer questions. I do want to speak with you because I want the truth to be known," unquote. Now, the appellate court determined that his statements were too ambiguous to be considered an unequivocal request for legal counsel. And it goes on to say that the detectives, the court noted, were justified in their attempts to clarify his intentions. The court stated that a reasonable police officer would not have understood his statements as a clear desire to stop the interview until an attorney was present. The ruling further stated that even if he had clearly requested an attorney, that he reinitiated the conversation with the detectives himself, which would allow them to continue questioning him, of course. Now, it goes on to say that the court pointed to moments where he followed up a statement about wanting an attorney with a question to the detectives about the process and continued the conversation. And this decision reverses the trial court's order that it granted his motion to suppress the statements. And the case has now been sent back to the lower court for further proceedings, and the pastor's statements are now reinstated as admissible evidence. So that's where we're at. Attorney Ken Afianco, what do you think about this one?
Sure. I mean, I understand the court's ruling, but understand that this could be appealed to the Florida Supreme Court, and we don't know what the final decision would be in that arena. In addition, even if it was appealed to the Florida Supreme Court, they can hear it, not hear it. They can appeal this constitutional issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the appellate level has not been exhausted yet. However, with the Fifth District Court of Appeal siding with the state, we have to take away some of the well-established, long-standing precedent with this type of confession. Again, you mentioned the statement, "I do want a lawyer." That's absolutely unequivocal request for an attorney. Had he not said anything but that, then yes, the detectives would have had to stop speaking to him. However, there's two ways the interview can continue when someone asks for an attorney. One, the attorney's present, then you can continue your interview if the attorney lets you. And two, if the suspect reinitiates the interrogation, that's the only two ways you can continue talking to somebody once they've invoked their right to an attorney. In this particular case, the court said he did reinitiate the conversation with the detectives because he said, "I will answer questions. I do want to speak with you because I want the truth to be known." Now, that could be interpreted two different ways. He's implying that when his attorney gets there, he'll speak to the detectives. Or it could be interpreted that, "Yes, I do want to talk to you." Either way, it doesn't matter how you interpret it, but the court says it's ambiguous. It wasn't a clear, unequivocal request for an attorney and nothing else. I agree. Had he not said anything else, this wouldn't even be in the paper, but he did. And that's what made it ambiguous. And the court did what it's supposed to do, which is say the confession comes in. So that's how this case plays out. But again, with the grain of salt, understand that this case could be appealed on two different levels. So it's really not final per se.
Interesting. All right. So gotcha. I do like that. Of course, we're talking about a murder case here. I do like the fact that we have they obviously recorded the statements in the interview, and it was only a 45 minute interview, so not that long. But I'm glad that we have transcripts that are detailed and exact on what was said. Because back in the day, could you imagine having this and there'd be no audio recording of an interview of a crime like this? That would just be horrific in and of itself, right? So they sound like they were doing it right.
They came up with the right conclusion. Whether or not an appellate court beyond the fifth district will overturn that, who knows?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. And look, I'm covering this because everybody should be on the same page on this. And I'm talking about our guys that are out there doing complicated crimes involving sexual battery and homicides. It's good to know what the courts are doing around the state. And Trial court ruled differently than the appellate court did in this case. So that's make a mental note of that, we'll watch this if anything comes down further for this, but thanks for clearing that for us, Ken. We appreciate it. We've got about a minute and 45 seconds before we take our first commercial break. So let's go ahead and jump on the next one. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Donald Trump to sign an executive order ending obvious threat to public safety nationwide. What in the world could it be? I think we're talking about cashless bail here. So the President Donald Trump is expected to sign an executive order on Monday that would end cashless bail. And he's threatening to revoke federal funding for jurisdictions that continue to implement the policy, according to information obtained by the Post. Now, Attorney General Pam Bondi is preparing a list of jurisdictions with cashless bail policies that could be impacted by this. And those jurisdictions include states such as New York, Cities include, and we got a story about New York coming up that involves something just like that. Cities including Washington, D.C., and other localities with bail reforms that allow defendants to be released without posting cash bond. And it's a statement here saying that cashless bail policies allow dangerous individuals to immediately return to the streets and further endanger law-abiding, hardworking Americans because they know our laws will not be enforced. And that's what a White House memo said about this forthcoming executive order. The memo further described the rearrest of offenders is also, it's a waste of public resources. So the cops are having to spend a lot of their time rearresting people that have already been arrested and gone to jail, but because of cashless bail, they get out and they're just repeat offenders. And this is just like this this continuous circle that keeps going on and on. And so it is an issue. It does say that Illinois became the first state to eliminate cash bail, followed by New Jersey. And New Mexico is also in a cash bail requirement. So interesting. I'm curious what you think about this one, Ken. But we've got our second or first commercial break coming up. So we'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online options into the mix, I mean, the choices are almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. They even have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. In fact, we're giving away one today. And so if you have family, friends, and loved ones, and hopefully you do, hook them up with a new Gauls gift card and they'll be your new best friends. You can do all that at Gauls.com. You know, I just ordered a pair of Danner boots the other day, Ken. They're waterproof. If I would have had them on in Georgia back in April when I slipped and fell and blew my knee out, it probably wouldn't have happened. I got them quickly. They're like great boots. So Gauls.com. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And guys, if you don't know it, my favorite product they have right now, it's called the Glove. But they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, we know about the Glove, and they have actually helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries with the Glove. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly and normally can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game and go to ComplianTechnologies.com and check out their CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And take it from me, guys, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco. Ken's still certified law enforcement officer as well, currently certified cop as well in the state of Florida. And of course, he spends his time helping cops out in a role to hurt as an attorney for the FOP. And man, that's what he does. He's doing some great work. So Ken, this whole cashless bail thing, this executive order, I know Trump has approached the legislature in the past to try to clean up, things, and that hasn't seemed to happen. So what do you think about this?
Well, first of all, I think cashless bail is the most stupid thing I've ever heard of in my life. I know the reason why it was implemented. It was implemented because people said that cash bail discriminated against people that did not have money. That was the reason behind it. And that's a false reason. The reason behind bail is simply to secure your attendance in a court hearing. It's got nothing to do whether or not you have money. Even poor people get ROR'd, which is they don't have to post any bond bail, even in crimes. So to me, that was a ridiculous reason why they said cashless bail works. However, what it did create was the very serious offenders going to jail for whatever serious crime, they don't have to post bail and they get released just to go back out on the street and do it again. One of the ones I read was a 3-time armed robber in the same day gets arrested for the 3rd armed robbery in New York. Apparently they have exceptions to the cashless bail on repeat offenders. Anyway, they did deny his no cash bail on the 3rd armed robbery. Again, this is the most ludicrous thing I ever heard. And I would say Trump is on the right path getting rid of cash bail or cashless bail. It's just absurd. I never understood it.
So I wonder how effective taking away federal funding from the jurisdictions that are not getting rid of it. I wonder how effective that is going to be on this.
Well, it'll be interesting because some jurisdictions are suing Donald Trump right now because he threatened to take away funding for other initiatives these states were doing that he didn't agree with. So that may head up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has always held that the president does have the ability, the executive ability, to deny funding from the federal government to the state if the federal government doesn't believe in the program that the state is authoring. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes complete sense. I mean, you're just running in circles. You know, it's one thing to catch bad guys and to put them in jail and they're off the street and they're serving time. You have to go through the court process. But when they get out and, you know, there may be a trial coming, there may not be, they may or may not show up for it, but they're out there committing more crimes. That's like the no-win scenario. How do you even catch up? How do you even fight that? You know, that's just crazy. I agree.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. I forget which state was the first one to implement it. My mind wants to take me to New York, but I may be incorrect in that. But since that time, a lot of other states picked up the same initiative and ran with it. But in all fairness, they're all, for lack of a better description, blue states, you might say. So we see the common theme with that.
Illinois. The article said Illinois was the first state to eliminate cash bail. And then New Jersey was number two. And it also said New Mexico has also ended it. Of course, we know that New York did it. It looks like they did it around 2019. So yeah, there you go. Well, if you're ready to go to the third main story, Ken?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So our third one here, and then we'll get to some other stories. This one is at RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com and foxnews.com on both of those. And this is what MBS over at Rumble was talking about. Over 2.6 million people demand, not asking, but they're demanding leniency for illegal immigrant trucker who killed three people in Florida. And look, this story, this is just all over the news. So everybody that's listening or watching the show should be familiar with this. But there was a change.org petition. And why they even allowed this petition on change.org, you know, there's a lot of things they turn down. They're trying to raise money for police officers and stuff like this. A lot of these people don't let you do petitions. But change.org allowed this petition to go on. And the people that signed it, they're urging leniency for an illegal migrant truck driver. He's accused of a fatal crash in Florida. He did a U-turn in a official use only. It was an illegal U-turn because he was using the place where normally troopers and people access it to do the U-turns. He's received more than 2.6 million signatures, drawing international attention, sparking political controversy, reported by the Daily Mail. So Harjinger Singh, 28 years old, originally from India, charged with three counts of vehicular homicide. He caused the deaths of these people in Fort Pierce on August the 12th. And authorities say that he made an illegal U-turn in Florida on the turnpike, 50 miles north of West Palm Beach. And the semi-trailer blocked lanes of traffic, and this minivan collided with the trailer, and it took out all three occupants. And both him and his passenger were not injured. And after the crash, him and his passenger, Harneet Singh, they fled to Sacramento, California, of course, where they ended up being arrested on August the 16th in Stockton. And then Governor Ron DeSantis sent Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins to grab him, bring him back to Florida, to extradite him back. A judge just denied bond. Thank God it was a Florida judge and not a California judge. So he's not getting the cash's bail thing going. But a judge denied him bond here on Saturday, citing his immigration status and that he posed a substantial flight risk. And now this petition addressed to Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida Board of Executive Clemency, it calls the incident, it says it's a tragic accident, request a proportionate and reasonable sentence if this guy's convicted. And supporters of the petition argue that he should not face excessive punishment, suggest alternatives to incarceration, if you can believe this, like restorative justice, counseling, or community service. Are you freaking kidding me? And here's a quote saying, this was a tragic accident, not a deliberate act. It also urges parole consideration after a fair portion of the sentence has been served. And Tricia McLaughlin, spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security, she criticized California for issuing the commercial license in the first place to illegal aliens. And then our bad guys facing both state charges and federal immigration violations. And there's a whole place I'm over right now for this proceeding. So that's what we have. But hey, we're coming up on our second commercial break. So stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with a soulless bolt action. And stay tuned, because right now, the M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecision.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure documents in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, it's Not Caught Red-Handed on August the 27th. Tomorrow, sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers of Blue and step up your legal game, because you can't afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco, who's also still a certified law enforcement officer in the state of Florida as well. We just left off talking about over 2.6 million people are demanding leniency for that illegal immigrant trucker who mowed down, he didn't mow him down. He just decided to stop his truck in front of three people in a minivan, and they got killed in Florida. And then he fled to California, and we had the senator, lieutenant governor, to go grab him and extradite his butt back here to Florida. And now these 2.6 million want leniency on this illegal immigrant trucker who killed three people. And Ken Affianco, you're up next.
Yes, sir. Well, I got a question, a couple things here real quick. First of all, I question that we have 2.5 stupid people that would sign a petition this criminal. I don't believe it. I don't believe they have 2.5. However they did the numbers is probably exaggerated. But I watched a video the other day, because obviously this is a hot topic in the news. This guy made obviously an illegal U-turn, shows absolutely no expression when this guy makes the U-turn and this family runs into him in a van. He doesn't even blink. It's just like, oh, well, that to me is appalling. I'd have been out of that door so fast trying to help him pull him out of the car. He just sits there. It's disgusting. I also learned that this guy couldn't even speak English, could not read the signs, and he's driving an 18-wheeler. They should lock him up for the rest of his life and lock up his employer for the rest of his life, because someone to hire this guy driving a 100,000-pound vehicle down the roadway is absurd. But here we are, and I think DeSantis is doing the right thing by prosecuting him to the fullest extent of the law. Plus, I read today that DeSantis is going after the employer of this individual. Yes, it was in the paper today. Okay, so I hope DeSantis just shreds them and imposes massive fines, if not criminal negligence, on whoever hired this person. But for 2.5 million people allegedly signing a petition to support this guy, you guys are idiots. What is wrong with you? That could have been you, your family, someone you know, and you're supporting this person. As I said before we came live, I have to be careful what I say, because if I get off track, I'm going to have the FBI knocking on my door in the next 10 minutes. This infuriates me. There's no other way I can say it.
I have a hard time believing, too, that over 2.5 million people signed a petition with this in mind. Just not having the capacity. I just don't think that there's that many stupid people. I mean, some people would argue that there probably are in Florida, but I don't know where these people came from. So I really question the authenticity of this petition and the vetting process that they use. Did you hear anything, Ken, about The California driver's license for truckers no longer being valid in Florida. Have you heard that one?
Yes. DeSantis, I believe, did an initiative that we're no longer honoring those people in the state of Florida. And I want to say, I think it was the attorney general as opposed to DeSantis, but he did it under DeSantis's direction. So we're not playing games in Florida.
Wow.
You want to come to Florida, you follow the law. Otherwise, you're going to end up in Alligator Alley, and the next trip you're going to have is overseas somewhere in Uganda.
Yeah. Gavin Newsom and what they got going on in California, we don't want any part of it. Other than we'll take Gavin Newsom's family because, remember, his mom and dad, I believe, moved over here to Florida. But yeah. So anyhow, thanks for clearing that up for us, Ken. Appreciate it. So we'll continue to watch the news cycle and keep you guys informed so you guys will be the most informed over all this stuff, you know, going down. So if you guys are ready, let me just say one more time, we are doing two giveaways today. So if you're watching the show or you're listening to it, maybe live or delayed, you know, for our streamers, and we're going to be adding the capability for people to be able to do email entries for our contest as well. But we're doing Gull's gift card giveaways. That's a $50 Gull's gift card that we do twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we're doing that today during the live show. So if you type in the word Gull's, G-A-L-L-S, and give us your email address, we will be able to give that out, and that's during the live show. And also, we're doing a Two Bells giveaway, and that is for our online store. They built their new online store at leoroundtable.com on our website, and they cover the first $20 that you spend on the store. And they're going to give you a free coolie as well, which I'm holding up in front of the screen right here for your cold drink in the summer heat. It keeps it cold. And so all you have to do is type in the number 2 and the letter B for that one and your email address. As long as you haven't won either one of those in the last 60 days, you are good to go. So we're looking to give those away and to make that announcement during the next commercial break. So without wasting any more time, let's go ahead and jump on our next story here. We've got, you know, at foxnews.com, we got two men claiming to be police. They end up being shot and killed by a homeowner. Look, I am smiling, but when you hear that, well, number one, this happens in Texas. I mean, of all places. So a Texas homeowner, everybody's armed in Texas, right? A Texas homeowner fatally shot two masked men late Friday after they posed as police officers serving a warrant and opened fire on the house. Now, the Houston Police Department responded to reports of gunfire in the southeast part of the city around midnight. And Officer C. Jones, this is the guy telling Fox News Digital about it. The suspects were wearing, they say, bulletproof vests, no such thing. So they're wearing ballistic vests and they're marked with police on them. And there are no patrol cars or flashing lights present. And everybody knows that, at least in our world, you know, when you're doing search warrants and stuff, you have to have a uniform presence so that people don't doubt who you are. You may have the guys doing the door entry. They may be wearing raid jackets. You might have a ballistic shield or whatever, but everything's going to say police on it. But you're always typically going to have a police vehicle marked overheads on, you know, or something that they can verify that, hey, yeah, this is certainly the cops, because, you know, Joe Citizen or Joe Criminal just can't come up with a police car and convince people that it's really the cops. So these bad guys who were bad guys, they had body armor and it said police on it, no patrol car, no flashing lights. And so the homeowner became suspicious and they've got a Ring doorbell cam. So the two guys are also wearing masks covering their faces. They have badges around their necks, according to Fox 26 Houston. And so homeowners become suspicious of looking at the Ring camera. The suspects are stating that they have a warrant, but it's just two people. They're masked up, no police cars, no lights or anything like that. And this is what Lieutenant Collins telling Fox 26. So police said the gunmen, I guess they probably get frustrated because these people aren't letting them into the house and they start firing into the home. But the residents return fire and they kill both these bad guys. And arriving officers attempt CPR. There's no use. These guys are pronounced dead at the scene. Homeowners were unharmed, according to Fox 26, and police have not released the identities of the two bad guys yet. The investigation is still ongoing. And, you know, when I was reading the story, Ken, it made me think about all these people that are saying that, you know, ICE agents can't, you know, hide their faces because people are going to start impersonating ICE agents and arresting them, which is just a load of crap, right? So it almost makes me wonder if some freaking idiots, yahoos in Texas, decided to test that theory out. And look what it got them. It got them freaking dead. So your thoughts on this one?
I don't even need to say anything. How about if I do a visualization?
Please do. Yeah. Above this, the applause.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding me? You got two criminals. God knows what they were going to do to these poor homeowners. Personally, I think it was probably a drug ripoff, but I won't go down there. I mean, we don't have those facts to support it.
Right.
But this sounds like a drug ripoff to me. But nonetheless, the homeowner did exactly what I would have done, which is take care of business before they get in the house. End of story. So we know that Houston's not going to prosecute him. This is clearly a stand your ground, you know, home defense situation, which the use of deadly force would be authorized in Florida as well. But I'm glad the good people, if they were truly good people, but we'll just say the victims certainly did what they had to do to stay alive. And we have two less very violent individuals we have to worry about doing that again. So that's what I have to say about that one.
Yeah, Betty Dunn says, play the game, pay the price. You're so right, Betty. And, you know, and look, as cops, we know not to stand in front of the stupid door anyhow, right? I mean, and this is a perfect example on why you don't. And and you know what? Ballistic, that's why they're not called bulletproof vest guys. These guys both apparently had these so-called bulletproof vests, according to our uneducated author who wrote the story. But there's no such thing as bulletproof, because even less lethal rounds are called less lethal because they can kill you. And so it's less lethal, but it doesn't mean it's non-lethal. And the same thing with these ballistic vests and stuff. You know, there is, you know, last time I checked, there was still something called armor piercing armor, you know, so or bullets. So anyhow, no sympathy for the bad guys on this one. And, you know, we have enough time. I know we got another commercial break coming up. But we do have a story that's got a video component that I do want to cover. So let me just whet the appetite on that one. Rumble.com. This is Butters, the name of the channel. Davis Bomery, he is fatally shot by Antioch police officers when he charges at them with a knife.
You want to give commands?
Hey, Dave, stop right there.
Have him come past the car.
Keep coming.
Get him right in the opening of the street.
Stop right there, David. Stop. Right there. Kneel on the ground for me, David.
Okay. 40.
Hey!
Ceasefire. Drop the... You want to give commands?
Hey, David, stop right there.
Have him come past the car.
Keep coming.
Get him right in the opening of the street.
Stop right there, David. Stop. Right there. Kneel on the ground for me, David.
Okay. 40.
Hey!
So he brings a knife to a gunfight, and this is in a place called Antioch, California. And yeah, there's footage involving this, and this happened on June the 30th. And so we're going to be talking about this in 1 second. Guys, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, competent, certified firearm specialist like our very own attorney Ken Affianco and also Captain Brett Bartlett. The course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Daniel Kelly, and he's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco, who's still a certified law enforcement as well. We just did during the commercial break, we did the Gauls gift card giveaway, and Sergeant George just won a free $50 Gauls gift card giveaway. He typed in what he needed to on the stream during the live show and got that. We do not have a winner for the two bells giveaway yet, and they're going to cover the first $20 you spend at our online store at leoroundtable.com. So if we have that opportunity to give that away before the show's over, we will do that as well. And now, before the commercial break, We were talking about a story that's got a video component. And just for a reminder here, we are in Antioch, California. We got David Bomery. He's our bad guy, fatally shot by Antioch police officers, but he's charging at these guys with a knife. So video of the scene provided by the police, it shows officers, they shoot 26-year-old bad guy, Davis Bomery, to death as he's charging at them in the middle of the street. He's got a knife. Now, police responded to the home. It's at 7:15 in the morning, so it's pretty early, after our bad guy called 911 saying that he wanted to kill his family. So the officers, you know, they get there. They try to contact the family, but they're unsuccessful. So that's the first flag, right, or concern, right? They can't get a hold of the family. The guy's threatened that he's going to kill him. While officers are gathering information and they're trying to establish a plan, a phone call was made to our bad guy in an effort to de-escalate the situation, and they wanted to establish contact with his family, make sure that the family members are okay. But he refuses to allow the officers to speak with his family, and instead he starts making additional threats to kill his neighbor. So during the call with the bad guy, officers, they decide to gather on a street corner that's near the home, and they asked him to meet them outside. And look, there's a great video of these guys all kind of like huddled together on the outside. It's like a little cul-de-sac area. So bad guy actually comes out of the house and he appears. And when you see him, they're ordering him to stop and to get on the ground. But in response, he removes a large knife from his waistband and he starts trying to flank the officers before charging directly at them, which he does. And despite the deployment of less lethal, which they had, he continues advancing on them. He's got the knife. So they have to eventually discharge their service weapons. They hit him, and he's pronounced dead at the scene. And I'm kind of looking out, looking at my stage notes. I think that covers it pretty well. I mean, it's a longer video, but the action about 8:57 into it, 8 minutes and 57 seconds, and when it starts getting good. And you've also got two body cams that show the shooting go down, but completely justified in my mind. Attorney Ken Afianko.
Suicide by cop.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You can't explain it any other way. I mean, this guy is coming up on what, a four or five cops that I could see. One's got a rifle. He sees them. Obviously, they were there for his violent acts that he got called about. I mean, you're walking down the street. They're yelling at you. You pull a knife out of your pants. And it was weird how he approached him. He came from the far right, then he makes like a left turn and he's going right for him. What do you expect is going to happen? I mean, to me, that's why I say it was a suicide by cop, and they obliged him. But what's amazing, you know, I may use this as a training video in the academy, is after they shoot him multiple times, he's on the ground and he still has the knife. He's still a legitimate threat. So the officers did a nice tactical approach and kicked the knife out of his hand. But what I like about that video is they administered life-saving measures right after he was disarmed, which you know from me talking about shootings. Once the threat has ended, you got to administer life-saving measures. And they did exactly what they were supposed to do. But I still think it was suicide by cop at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ken. A lot of people don't think about that. And, you know, a lot of people would not have the capability to turn it off. And you know what I mean by that? I mean, 1 second, you know, you're having to neutralize a threat, right? You're having I'm saying neutralize a threat, but essentially you're having to kill a bad guy to prevent him from doing serious bodily injury or death to yourself or someone else. And the very next second after you've neutralized him and he's still alive, now you're trying to save his life. That is a complete, you know, 180 degree turn. A lot of people would not even be capable of doing that. Cops are expected to do that and required to do that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. It would be very, very difficult, no question about it, but you have to understand that's part of the protocol. And there's been agencies that have been sued for not providing life-saving medical care and treatment, even though they've used some sort of deadly force to, as you say, stop the threat.
Yeah. And rightfully so. You know, there needs to be accountability. I mean, if some guy hauls up and, you know, you're talking to a suspect and he just punches you in the face and he turns and runs away. And as you're running up on him to tackle him, he stops and gives up. I mean, you can tackle him, but as far as returning the favor of the punch and stuff, can't do it. You know, you've got to be able to turn it off. You know, it's like, all right, dude, you got one on me, you know, but you're going to go to the jail. I'll take him down hard. But, you know, a lot of guys, that's not easy for everybody to do.
It's just There's a firearms instructor in the academy that has a saying, you can't punish them for what they did. You can only do something for what they're doing now. Yeah. Meaning that if he just shot five cops and you're chasing him and he gives up, you can't shoot him for what he did. Yeah. You have to take action on what he's doing now. And you're right. That may be extremely hard for some people to analyze that, especially in a high stress situation. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to wrap your head around. Now, yeah. I think we've got just enough time to cover this next one here. ABC7NY for NewYork.com. NYPD detective wounded by friendly fire trying to apprehend suspect. Now, look, first off, the cop's going to be fine. He had to have surgery. So from what I understand and read, he's going to be okay. But it's scary. But there's always something that can be learned from this. Whitestone, Queens, an attempt to apprehend a career criminal following a carjacking ended with an NYPD detective being struck by friendly fire in Queens on Friday morning. The shooting happened just before 9 o'clock in the morning in the Whitestone section. According to investigators, the bad guy, approaches a vehicle that's parked just off a service road, announced a robbery, displayed what appeared to be a firearm to the driver. The driver gets out of the car, suspect assaults him. Then the victim manages to call 911 as the suspect takes off. Now, the suspect then realizes that the victim still had the keys, so he returns to the scene, collides with another car in the process, and now the suspect assaults the victim again a second time, gets the keys to the car, takes off again. So I'm kind of wondering whether he was close enough to get the car started, and then he starts driving away, and it starts ding, 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 your keys. I mean, it kind of makes me wonder how this thing went down. And then he goes back and does all that again and gets the keys. But then the officers show up, and they attempt to block the bad guy in. A team of undercover cops, these are narcotic cops now. This is probably where it kind of gets a little hairy, because you've got uniforms, now you got undercover cops that happen to be driving by, but they decide to assist. So detectives assigned to the Queens South Narcotics Division, they attempt to make the apprehension and try to assist by blocking the car in themselves, according to Commissioner Jessica Tisch. During the confrontation, you got three patrol officers assigned to the 109th Precinct uniform. They start opening fire, and they strike the narcotics detective twice, not once. They hit him twice in the hand and in the leg. And anyhow, the chief of detectives, Joseph Kenny, said that they're going to get the bullet trajectory, figure out who shot who. The narcotics detectives were in front of the car. 109 was in the rear of the car. So there's obviously a crossfire situation. The injured detective rushed to Jamaica Hospital, had successful surgery on his leg. He's going to have surgery in his arm on Friday, it said. The 28-year-old suspect identified as Kevin Dubuisson. He had 10 unsealed prior arrests, and he was out on parole. He was arrested again on Thursday for fare evasion on the subway, but released on a desk appearance ticket. And police said that he's also believed to have stolen a yellow taxi that was idling Thursday night. And then he drives one block, hits a cyclist before ditching the car and fleeing. And I'm thinking cashless bail. So 45 seconds, Ken Afianko.
Yeah, you stole my thunder with the cashless bail. This guy should not have been on the street. But I can tell you from the sound of this article, it sounded like it was the biggest cluster you could ever imagine. And when you have undercover narcotics detectives interjected into this situation, you know they don't look like they just came from church. These guys are probably hardcore, you know, beards, long hair, looking pretty nasty. So you're probably thinking that they're one of the bad guys too. No excuse for shooting them, but nonetheless, that adds to the chaos. So it must have been a mess.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm kind of wondering how the narcotics guys were dressed. I mean, I'm assuming that they had their raid jackets on and stuff, but I'm kind of curious too. So, but hey, it's been a great show, Ken Afianko. Great commentary. You nailed it. So thank you so much for being on the show. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And also FOPlawyer.com with Ken Afianko. If you guys want more information about Ken, FOPlawyer.com. Make sure you guys check that out. And this is what he does every day, all day. And all this stuff is in his wheelhouse. Hey, guys, want to mention our sponsors. Please support our sponsors. They go great lengths to make the show available to you. Our title sponsor, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, AmeriCar.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, Two Bells, FishOrlandoBass.com. You guys should do that right now. Go to FishOrlandoBass.com. Check out Zach's fishing charter. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.